it's not
it's
that
hot. More like a spice.
Yeah.
It adds flavor, but it's not like burning my face off.
We were at Sol Azteca Saturday night,
mm-hmm.
and my friend Abby grew up in Southern California.
So she likes the hottest of the hot foods?
Yeah, so we were like eating the salsa, and like one of the women ate the salsa, and she's like, ooh, that's got some kick to it tonight. And Abby and I both ate some, and we just like kind of like looked at each other. And then Abby requested hot sauce for her nachos, and we both put like a crap ton of hot sauce on our nachos because we're cool. I like spice. I like hot.
I don't know where I saw it. I want to say it was like an oatmeal cartoon
mm-hmm.
or oatmeal comic.
Yeah.
if you put like a ton of sriracha on your food, it'll keep people from eating it, and it's called napalming the jungle.
That's funny. But yeah, for real.
Matt used to be, like, Pet Stop Matt was crazy about sriracha.
Mm-hmm.
Like, ate that shit all the time.
I could see that.
Mm-hmm.
Him being a sriracha man.
Mm-hmm. Someone road raged on me today.
I love it.
Yeah. It was pretty
road rage
ridiculous.
Cracks me up because I'm like, what are you going to do? Oh. Well, clearly, like, stab someone or shoot someone, because that has been in the news recently.
And that's
recently.
Why I, like, honked back at them, and then I thought I probably should have just ignored it, because
ignore
I don't...
It.
Somebody got stabbed in Ishpeming from road rage.
Yes, at, like, 2 in the morning.
That's, like, so scary. 2 in the morning?
Yeah. The guy chased him down. Like, it was a road rage
Well, yeah, that's
incident.
Road rage.
Yeah. The guy on foot.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, I just choked on my
Didn't
drink.
Didn't you read the article?
No.
Oh,
no.
God. It was a road rage incident at like 2:30 or 3 o'clock in the morning. And some guy like cut off another guy. And the guy pulled over, got out of his car, chased the guy down and stabbed him.
Wow.
It was a local stabbing an out-of-towner.
Oh, my God. Come to the UP.
Come to the UP.
So what happened was we just went grocery shopping because we're leaving for camping tomorrow,
mm-hmm.
which is a whole nother thing. But
yeah,
got all of our grocery stuff. I was in the roundabout by Walmart heading towards Nagani.
Yeah.
From Super One.
Yeah.
And you know how there's the merge off Wright Street right there? Like, you can either go straight
yes.
and jump in the roundabout, or you can merge.
Merge.
Well, what I think happened is because...
That's always a shit show there.
Traffic was pretty congested. Like, I wouldn't have had anywhere to go anyway.
Yeah.
A car merged directly in front of me, so I, like, slowed down so that they could get in.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was a truck that kind of came up on the other side of me.
Yeah.
So I, you know, went through the roundabout how you're supposed to, went a car merged in front of me. Well, then there was a white van behind me and the van is like honking, going crazy. So what I think happened is that they were in my blind spot and I slowed down and let the one car in, but I can't stop. Like they would have had to stop.
Yes.
I'm not stopping right outside of the roundabout.
No.
Like they would have had to. Break
yes
and then try to merge in behind me.
Was it like a white like camper van?
Yeah.
Shut up.
Were you on the road at the same time?
No.
Did you see it?
But I had a white camper van honk at me around like 4:15 a few days ago when I was driving home from work, like right behind me in the same spot.
Are you serious?
I'm serious.
Like an old-timey camper van?
Yes.
Like where it's a van that had like a ladder on it?
Yes.
To like camp?
Yes.
Shut up.
I kid you not. And
why,
the guy,
do you know why they honked at you?
I don't know why. And he tailgated me like through Nagani.
That's what this guy did.
Shut up.
No, so he honked at me. That's fucking crazy. So he honked at me and was like,
don't drive a huge ass camper van if you're not chill as fuck. Because
he was all aggressive behind me honking. And then he tried to like get in. I was in the left lane or in the right lane, and he tried to get in the left lane to like go around.
Yeah.
But there was a truck there, and he kind of like swerved at the truck, and then he's honking at the truck, flipping them off, then right up behind me, flipping me off. And this was all in between the Walmart roundabout and the Meijer roundabout.
Yeah.
So I get up and I'm almost to the Meyer roundabout and there was traffic stopped, like waiting to get in it. Mm-hmm. And I started slowing down and he like violently cut me off, like where he almost hit me trying to get into the lane. And then he wasn't going to Meyer. He was in the left lane.
He was being a dick.
He was in the left lane and he came up and just like shot right in front of me.
If he would have hit you, and like there would have been like damage to either vehicle, he would have like gotten out of his car and fucking shot you.
Oh, for sure. For sure. I thought that too, because I thought I should have just hit him.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I had to brake hard to like keep from hitting him when he cut me off. And he was like half and half. It wasn't like he was completely in front of me and then merging over in front of me, cutting me off. He was just diagonal across the lanes, cutting me off. So then what do I do? Because he's trapped there, right? Because traffic wasn't moving. I just laid on my horn for like a solid 10 seconds. And he looked like the asshole because he was blocking both lanes. To what?
The best advice I ever got driving was always leave 10 minutes earlier than what you think you're going to need.
Well, yeah. Because I remember Dad saying, like, obviously not to speed.
Yeah.
But nowhere is worth dying trying to get there.
Well, I took a defensive driving course with the sheriff in Ishpeming.
For what?
When I applied at the mine, we had to take a defensive driving course, and he came in and spoke for like a day because safety is like super big at the mine.
Well, yeah.
And he was just like, the biggest thing that I see, people late for work, all of the accidents, because now he investigates like accidents and stuff they get started. And the biggest thing is people just don't give themselves enough time to be someplace, and they're always in a rush. They're always late for work or whatever, and that's what causes accidents. So he was like, just leave 10, 15 minutes earlier than what you think you're going to need.
I was like shocked. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't even like upset about it because the only thing I can think is that I went through the roundabout and was slightly ahead of him, and he was trying to merge and couldn't merge because I was in the way. But what am I supposed to do?
But what are you supposed to do?
Yeah.
That spot is terrible because...
Yeah.
Like, what are you going to do?
But so then he's like honking, and he like swerved at the truck that was in the left lane.
He's going to kill himself or behind me. Somebody killed.
So I thought he was honking at them. Well, then that truck turned into Menards or something. They were out of the way. Well, then he sped up and was right on my ass. And then he's got his finger like pressed up against his windshield. I'm like, yeah, I have fingers too, buddy. Cool. You're so cool. Like, I had no idea what I did.
No.
If I did something, because you do, like, fuck up driving, you know?
Everybody
cut somebody
does.
Off.
Yeah.
You, like, pull out in front of somebody. Like.
Yeah.
It happens. But I really didn't do anything.
And I feel like up here, road rage is way more common than, like, in Chicago. Like, when we were driving in the UK, like in the bus tour, nobody was like flipping people off. Nobody was doing anything like that. And like
driving in Chicago, like not that I do it a ton, but from driving like in the city,
it's expected that people are assholes.
People are everybody's honking, cutting everybody off. Like it's a game of survival.
Miami, Orlando, same thing. And I feel like up here, people just get a lot more angry. I'm not saying that people don't get angry in like bigger cities and stuff. But it's like everybody is kind of at that level.
Everybody's angry, so it's fine. Yeah, I had somebody too. Stacy went to work with me like last weekend, and I was in the same fucking roundabout by Walmart. And I'm in the roundabout going towards town, and somebody from Walmart didn't even brake and just pulled out. So everybody's like, then everyone in the roundabout's slamming on their brakes, honking, and the car stopped and sat there. And I'm like, what?
No, keep going. You need to keep going.
What is happening?
Yeah.
Like, that's not how I explained whenever I talk about roundabouts, because it was a big deal when Marquette started putting them in.
Oh, God. Yeah. Everybody was complaining.
And it has helped the flow of traffic a thousand times over. But I say it's like jump roping. Like, you know, when people are doing like, I can't remember what it's called.
Like the ABCs or whatever. It's something.
Is it like double double Dutch.
Yeah.
Dutch something. Where there's like two people swinging in the ropes. Yeah. And then you jump in. Mm-hmm. That is how a roundabout works.
Yes.
The ropes are the other cars. And when you get the opportunity.
You go.
You jump in.
Yeah. It's a wild concept.
Like. Yeah, so that was the excitement. Oh, and I got my nails done today.
I saw them.
Mm-hmm. And I said, do whatever you want. And this is what she did.
That's nice.
Yeah. When I said, do whatever you want, I know that she's talented and I like trust her to do that. But she goes, I always feel weird because what if I do whatever I want and somebody hates it?
Yeah.
And like, personally, I wouldn't have picked black for summertime. But... I know. I saw
I wear black nail polish a lot.
But I love this little like smoky sparkle mm-hmm. thing here. I love it a lot. So, and then she always like shapes them up again and they always look great. But
yeah, they look good.
But now I have to paint my toenails something other than neon blue. Because
I have a matte blue.
You have matte blue? Mm-hmm. What color? Like what color blue?
I'll show it to you after.
Okay.
I can't really remember what it is. It might be lavender, like a matte lavender.
Cool. I used to have a matte top coat, and that was game changer because then you could just throw it on whatever nail polish you had. But I wasn't going to bother going to Walgreens today to look for it.
Yeah.
And I might have matte black at home, but if you have like a different matte color,
something
that would be cool. Mm-hmm. Camping tomorrow.
I'm excited for you. That'll be fun.
I'm excited, too. It should be a good time. It usually is.
Yeah.
Tom's bringing his pontoon boat.
His pontoon.
I know. I think Greg is taking up, like, a little fishing boat
that
we can putz around on. Pat's bringing his deck boat, which is always fun. Mm-hmm. Nobody's bringing jet skis this year, I don't think, which I think is perfectly fine because it's always like three or four people that are the primary people riding them.
Yeah.
And like nobody ever puts in money for gas, and I always give whoever brings stuff gas money because, or, you know, we like for a while, Ryan and Nim would bring up their boat or whatever, and I just wouldn't charge them for their campsite.
Yeah.
Because Greg and I booked two, and then we share them with people. But yeah, that's this weekend. I'm looking forward to that.
That'll be super fun.
Mm-hmm. Relaxing, hopefully.
Yeah. I don't know what we're doing this weekend.
Yeah. Eating Taco Bell?
Probably. I hope so. I know we're playing D&D tomorrow night, I think, and I don't really want to, but... the life I lead being social.
Yeah. Sucks to suck.
I know. I just kind of want a week where we just don't do anything.
I always say that, but then it fills up no matter what.
Yeah.
I always say like, oh, sweet. We don't have any plans tomorrow. And then Greg.
God, well, if we don't have plans, then we can do this or we can exactly. do that.
Oh, we don't have plans. Okay. So let's go out to lunch and then we'll take the dogs hiking and then we'll go to running group. And then like. I need a day where I just like clean my whole house and then I need the next day to lay there like a lump in my clean house and like watch TV.
That's the best.
I did that right after Emma went downstate for a week. Or I say downstate. She went to Madison. And right after she left, I like cleaned where I like dusted everything, moved the furniture to vacuum under the furniture, like did a good job. And then the next day I just laid on the couch and watched, I think it was The Witcher.
Yeah.
No, it was Suits because I started watching Suits.
I was going to ask you if you watched any of The Witcher.
The new season. I don't know where I'm at in the new season.
Okay. Oh. We can talk later.
I think the last episode I watched, which I don't really think gives away any plot. There is a bad guy. Who's looking for them.
Okay.
And he goes to the couple that the Witcher got information from.
Okay.
Burns their house down.
Oh, shit.
With them in it.
Yee.
Cat lives. Saves the cat.
Oh, good.
Mm-hmm.
I always get very sad.
Well, he goes in and he's, like, threatening them.
Yeah.
And he picks up the cat and then the like, finger lights, like lights.
Oh, it's the flame guy from the last season.
Yes. Ooh, so he like fires up his fingers and the woman is like, please don't hurt the cat. And then it just shows him walking out of the house on fire with them screaming and he's holding the cat and then he opens a portal and like jumps through.
I mean, at least he didn't hurt the cat, right?
Well, I mean, yeah.
Hurt the cat.
Oh, speaking of cats, Jonesy Boy is a holy terror.
Yeah.
Sam and Pepper are going to lose so much weight because he attacks them exactly like a wildcat attacking like a water buffalo.
Just starts biting their hindquarters.
He runs up behind them and attacks their butts and hangs on to them while they're running, trying to get away and like screaming at him. And he's just biting them, kicking them. He's a monster.
He might settle down, though. Parker has settled down.
I think he will. But I kind of like that he's harassing them because they are very overweight and having somebody picking on them, chasing them around.
Yeah.
And Pepper plays with him a little bit too, where Pepper will chase him back.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, which she needs some movement in her life. I've thought about getting her a harness and like walking her.
Oh, she'd be so cute.
Because she...
She's hefty. She's a hefty lady.
She's a hefty gal.
Mm-hmm.
It's really squishy fat though. Like she's like a squishmallow.
It's not like stew. Stew is like salad.
No, or like... Pixie.
Yeah.
Like Pixie's like hard fat.
Yeah.
Like a bowling ball. Where she's squishy fat. So when she walks, it's like all like wobbling waddles. All over.
Mm-hmm. That's the
best. I tell Greg all the time, I wish I liked my big stomach as much as I like her big stomach.
Oh.
Because she rolls over and I'm like, look at that belly.
Can you imagine like Greg, like you like rolling over and him just being, look at that belly and doing belly scratches on your stomach?
I would do exactly what Pepper does. I would bite him.
That's the best.
Yeah. So I took a bunch when I was watching the movie that we're eventually going to talk about. Jones was like laying on my notebook while we were watching the movie, looking all cute.
He was invested.
He was. He was invested. Wes and his roommate Toby are still at our house. I think they're going back Monday, flying back.
Yeah. Where are they from?
Washington.
Okay.
So
underneath an endless pile of clouds.
Yes.
Under endless cloud cover.
Living
out Twilight fantasy.
Well, what's funny, and I guess I didn't think about it, they don't have thunderstorms there.
Oh, yeah. I suppose.
The weather for the most part is good. Mm-hmm. They get a lot of rain, but it's just like drizzly rain.
Yeah.
Because we've had like 2 thunderstorms.
Oh my gosh.
Since they've been here.
I'm so tired of rain and gloom. I just want a solid like 3 or 4 days of just sunshine and 75.
That would be ideal. Hopefully we'll get that this weekend.
I'm so hoping.
Yeah. Have you been tanning or are you just tanned from being outside?
Tanned from being outside.
Okay.
And biking.
That's what I thought. Your face is pretty tan.
Thank you. I don't know if I'll be saying thank you in like 20 years, but thank you right now. Anyway,
gotten better. I got this sunscreen that has, it's not even a shimmer. It just kind of gives you like a nice glow and it's SPF 30.
Yeah.
And I've been trying to wear that.
It's good. My forehead is like. It's a good habit to get into.
My forehead's getting some wrinkles.
Sunscreen and stuff.
And my chest.
My
chest is getting wrinkly from the sunburns.
Yeah.
Yep.
We probably
should. I think I've talked about everything I wanted to talk about. Got my nails done.
Yeah.
Road rage.
I'm kind of in a bummer mood today, so I'm going to limit my stories.
I'm sorry.
No that particular is... reason. Just like, eh.
Yeah.
Ugh.
And we're forced to record because I'm leaving for camping tomorrow and I won't be back till Sunday.
It's okay. This was a snap decision, so it was fine.
True.
Yeah.
We need, and I've said this 10,000 times, we need to get better, like, when you guys are going to Florida or whatever, we need to, like, think about that weeks in advance.
Yeah, it's
so we're not like, oh,
like
we're going
the week
to
of.
We're going to Florida tomorrow. Oh, okay, well, we should probably record then.
Let me watch a 2-hour-long movie and then take notes.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Hello, everyone. My name's Chelsea.
I'm Erin.
And this is Slasher Movie Review. On tonight's episode of Slasher Movie Review, we're going to hang out with the crew of the Nostromo on an Alien, which came out in 1979. I had it like super nicely put together in my head. And then when it came out of my mouth, it was not put together well.
And then your words just pooped out.
My words just pooped out. Mm-hmm. Alien was originally supposed to be titled Star Beast.
Can you imagine?
Can you imagine? I don't know. That sounds like a nightmare.
Yeah.
Alien is an hour and 57 minutes long. You can find it on Hulu and pretty much any streaming service. Hulu is for free.
I have the set
on
DVD.
It's directed by Sir Ridley Scott, who did Blade Runner and Hannibal, amongst many, many, many others.
Mm-hmm.
It's written by Dan O'Bannon and Ronald Shusett. Ronald Shusett did Total Recall and most of the Aliens, and Dan O'Bannon did most of the Alien movies.
Okay.
Music is done by Jerry Goldsmith, like any amazing movie is done. It stars Sigourney Weaver as Ripley, Avatar, Ghostbusters, The Village, many, many, many other movies.
Yeah.
Most of the cast has been in several movies since this came out. Tom Skerritt as Captain Dallas. He was in Top Gun, Picket Fences, many other things. Veronica Cartwright is Lambert. She was in the original Invasion of the Body Snatchers and Witches of Eastwick.
Mm-hmm.
The cherry scene, the cherry pit scene.
Greg actually recognized her from that, and it took me a minute.
Yeah. Harry Dean Stanton, my handwriting is kind of off, as Brett. He was in Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas and Cool Hand Luke. He was an older actor. John Hurt as Kane. All of the things from Doctor Who to Harry Potter.
Yes. And have we done Skeleton Key?
Yes.
We did?
Yep.
I wasn't sure.
Skeleton Key.
We've done enough now that I forget. Mm-hmm.
Following suit with John Hurt, Ian Holm as Ash, Lord of the Rings, From Hell, The Fifth Element, many other things. These two actors did lots of Shakespeare plays also.
So, you know what I found? Because I was bored and just scrolling through my phone aimlessly this afternoon.
Yeah.
So, John Hurt played Aragorn in the 1978 Lord of the Rings.
Mm-hmm.
You know who played Legolas?
Who?
Anthony Daniels.
Shut up.
Yeah, C-3PO.
Played. I can see that.
So now, like, I saw that when I was little.
Yes.
Like, I don't remember it at all. So I kind of want to watch that now just to see what actors were in it. You know, see who I recognized.
I always see on Instagram, like, the side-by-side between, like, the animated and the...
I love that.
The remake, yeah. Yefit Kotto as Parker. He was in Live and Let Die, Puppet Masters, and a few other things.
Mm-hmm.
The alien, or most depictions of the alien, was played by Balahi Badejo. It was his only acting job. The casting crew picked him up in a bar because he was a bartender there. And
they're like, hey, you're really tall and skinny. You could probably fit in the suit.
Yeah. after this movie came out, he went back to his home country of Nigeria and opened up an art gallery. But he sadly passed away in 1992 from sickle cell disease at 39. And then Helen Horton plays Mother, the voice of Mother.
Mm-hmm.
She was in Superman 3.
Interesting. Good information.
I know.
So this won an Oscar.
Oh my God. All of the things.
For special effects. Mm-hmm. And then it won like a dozen more awards here and there, a couple Saturn awards. I think
Sigourney Weaver either won a Saturn Award or was nominated.
She was nominated. Mm-hmm. Who's the other gal in it?
Veronica.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
She won Best Supporting Actor as a Saturn Award, I think.
Yeah.
This has a 98 on Rotten Tomatoes.
Ugh.
I know.
And before we like deep dive into this, we're going to try to do this justice. It's an iconic movie. It's like Friday the 13th, Halloween, like all of the good ones.
Yeah.
It's just, it's hard to only have because, like an hour, hour and a half to talk about it.
It's also hard because we fuck up a lot.
Yeah.
And I still haven't learned my lesson.
No. I don't think we ever will. I just randomly fuck up.
Mm-hmm. The intro, it is a commercial towing vehicle, the Nostromo. There's a crew of seven. They have a cargo of 20 million tons of ore that they are returning to Earth.
Mm-hmm.
Returning with to Earth. See, yeah. I'm already fucking up.
That's okay.
Now, the crew wakes up. They find out that they were, like, off course somehow.
Yeah.
While they're off course, they also find out that, or they find, like, a distress beacon.
Yeah.
Like, what?
Ugh.
I know.
Never answer distress beacon.
Well, they have to. What I thought was funny is they're on the spaceship and they're eating their meal after they all wake up out of like cryo sleep or whatever. Mm-hmm. And they're all smoking cigs.
Just, yeah.
Like, hey, we're all astronauts, but let's hang out and eat some ramen and smoke cigarettes and have some Pepsis or beers or whatever.
Yeah.
I thought that was a little strange. So Dallas, he's in charge, says that Mother, the spaceship, woke them up early because there's a distress beacon. Mm-hmm. They were also somehow off course.
Yeah.
Interesting. Some of the crew is like, fuck that. Let's go home. We're not paid to rescue
most
people.
Most of the crew.
Yeah. But if they do that, they won't get paid because it's part of their contract.
Yeah. So the company does have a policy that if they get a distress signal, they have to at least go investigate to see what it is. Or they don't get paid.
Yeah. So they have like a little landing search party, which I think is pretty advanced film wise for the time.
I loved it. And
oh, yeah.
I mean, we'll talk about it later. But
so they kind of fucked up the landing and it'll be like 20 some hours before they can get back.
Mm-hmm.
Which, okay.
And Parker and I think Brett are part of like the engineering crew.
Yes.
Ripley's third in command. Ash is the science officer.
Who, oddly enough, was replaced on their crew just a couple days before they took off. Yeah.
Lambert is navigation. And Kane, I can't remember what Kane's position is. He might be medical officer or something.
Kane's job is looking cute.
Ugh,
that's his job.
That's true.
He kind of has a Norman Reedus look to him, like the squinty eyes.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But I love it because like Parker and Brett, or it's Parker and Kane. No, Parker and Brett.
Brett and Parker.
Yeah. Are down like kind of like repairing the ship where it landed and Ripley goes down to like help him out. And Parker is just like, whatever, like you're not going to do any good. And Ripley is just like, don't worry, Parker. You'll get what's coming to you. Just kind of like.
Yeah.
Not even really paying attention, but.
So, yeah, the first people that, like, take off from the ship are Lambert, Dallas, and Kane.
Mm-hmm.
They go investigating. Ash stays on the bridge.
Yep. Convenient.
Conveniently. Yep. So, they're exploring the ship, and they find, like, a giant. Essentially captain's chair with a giant sitting in it.
Yeah.
Skeleton.
Yep.
Or, you know, remains, I guess. Looks like they've been dead for quite some time.
Mm-hmm.
They also notice a big wound in his chest.
Like something exploded.
Mm-hmm.
Out of its chest.
Yeah. So Ripley is kind of taking this, like, distress signal as more of a warning.
Yeah, so Ripley is super smart, and we'll talk the entire time about how great she is. But she kind of takes over looking at the distress signal and is like, okay, this isn't making sense. Like, this isn't a distress signal.
Mm-hmm.
Like, something.
It sounds more like a warning.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Kane rappels down kind of into this pit.
This scene alone... just gives me so much dread and anxiety. And
now, it's just... plus when we're researching stuff and I'm like scrolling through endless fucking blogs, like talking about movies or whatever, mm-hmm. this one came up on a few. So I don't know if it's a rumor or if it's true. I could have watched the extras on the DVD, and of course I didn't. But the lighting that they use through the mm-hmm. fog, they borrowed from The Who.
It's that one's accurate.
Is that accurate?
That's accurate, yeah.
Because they were doing like light testing or something mm-hmm. on the stage next to where they were filming, and they're like, hey, this would be really cool to yeah. have this like laser light. So Kane goes down and he finds all these like pods.
Yeah, he describes them as like leather-looking egg sacs.
Like they kind of look like a clear football.
Yeah.
A big clear football.
My God.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Maybe it's just because I remember watching this when I was really little and just being
You
terrified.
See something move inside one of the eggs. Yeah. And what does he do? His dumb ass like just is staring like face down and it opens.
Yeah, he's staring face down, and while this is happening, he's like reporting back to Dallas, and he's just like, oh, like there's a life force in here. And when you drop down, or when he dropped down,
it's probably like 4 or 5 feet down.
4 or 5 feet down, but it's like tropical temperatures compared to the outer.
Yes, it's like this mist over the yeah. eggs.
There's something moving in here. It's alive.
Yeah.
Cool. Put your face over it.
The egg opens, and he, of course, puts his face over it and is like looking into it. And then that's when the face hugger jumps out and grabs him.
Yeah. They were going to be painted green.
Oh, that's way creepier. The flesh tone is like way creepier.
That's what everybody decided. Yeah.
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 So Dallas and Lambert, mm-hmm. they.
And it like broke through its mask.
Yeah,
stuff,
melted
too.
Through his like space helmet.
Oh
so
my God.
They're like rushing him back to the ship and they want in. And Ripley's like, fuck no.
No, quarantine. Protocol. 24 hours quarantine in the hatch.
Yeah, we're not. This isn't a thing.
No.
And they're arguing.
And Ripley's third in command. So when Kane and Dallas are off ship, she's the next up and it's her word or no word.
Yeah.
And
was she third in command or second in command?
Third in command.
Okay.
Yeah.
They went in.
Dallas is just like, fuck protocol. Like, we have to get him in or he's going to die. And Ripley is like, nah.
It's this big argument.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then Ash goes over and opens the door.
Fucking Ash.
Yep. He lets him in. So then Ash and Dallas try... First, they try to take, like, pliers, kind of, mm-hmm. to, like, lift one of the legs off of his face. They cut his helmet off. You can see it's wrapped around his face. Mm-hmm. And then the tail is, like, wrapped around his neck.
Yeah.
So when they try to move one of the fingers, it, like, tightens up on his neck.
Whoever came up with this creature design, did you write that down?
No.
Okay. Insane.
Yes.
What a wonderful...
It's a great idea.
Concept of a monster.
And the thing looks like this creepy spider with a tail.
It's terrifying.
Yeah. So it tightens up when they try to pull it off. Mm-hmm. So then they try to cut it off, not knowing what's going to happen. But
they don't
know. Dallas mm-hmm. makes the call, like, we have to yeah. do something. Because you can see it, like, puffs up with breaths. So you can tell it's like breathing
something.
For him, mm-hmm. kind of. Like a weird ventilator thing.
Yeah.
When they make a little cut in the leg, it ends up squirting out acid, mm-hmm. which drips through like 5 layers.
And that was
a floor.
That was a concept that was brought up about halfway through like the development of this,
mm-hmm.
Because they had to find out a defense mechanism for the alien to make it so they can't just shoot it.
Which is true. That's fair.
Like, they had to come up with some, like, weird way. And one of the guys working on it was just like, well, let's just give it acid blood.
I mean, why not?
Mm-hmm.
Then, just kind of as a side note, Ash is looking at something under a microscope. And he seems, like, kind of happy about it. He kind of has like this smirk on his face.
Yeah. And Ripley and Ash get into it a few times during the film. But Ripley is like pissed at Ash.
Oh, yeah. For breaking quarantine.
And she kind of like lets him have it. And Ash is just like, well, they were going to die. Like,
yeah.
Okay, Ash, do you really care?
Then just out of the blue, the facehugger lets go.
Mm-hmm.
They're looking for it everywhere, which I think is funny that they walk in, they leave the door wide open, and they're looking around for this like creature that tried to kill one of their friends.
Yeah.
It's kind of a lame jump scare. It like falls dead.
Yeah.
Like and, it falls on Ripley.
And they think that it was just they're kind of like using Kane to breathe or something. They don't really know what it was.
They don't know what's but coming.
But they did take like an x-ray of it and he was scanned and there was a tube like going down.
Yeah.
They don't know what it was.
They don't know why.
Mm-mm.
Ash, of course, wants to keep it to study it.
Yeah.
That's when Ripley, like, doesn't trust him.
Yeah.
She's starting to get, like, she's just starting to get sketchy about what's going on the ship. Then, randomly, because Kane, at this point, was, like, in a coma. Like, he was still, like, laying there.
Mm-hmm.
He wakes up. Feels fine.
Man, fucking quarantine him. I don't, like...
Yeah.
I don't understand.
They're like, oh, you're awake. You feel fine. Like, what fucking year is this? This is, like, way in the
2037.
Future.
2037.
So, like...
Not that far in the future. But
in 79. So that's in our lifetime. Okay, yeah. Cool.
but, like...
they really had some big plans for us in the future.
Ripley is trying to tell everybody, like, no, he needs to be in quarantine. He needs to stay in there. And people are just like, fuck off, Ripley.
He feels fine.
You don't know what you're talking about.
Goes to dinner. He's hungry.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's just going smooth until he starts choking.
Weird.
Starts coughing a little bit, and then he starts, like, seizing.
God.
At the dinner table. They hold him down, and they give him, like, a spoon to bite. Because, you know, to...
Yeah. I want to know... Did Kane feel anything like
heartburn?
Heartburn.
Maybe some indigestion.
I understand because it was yeah.
Well, then it's like one of the most iconic scenes in horror. The alien bursts out of his chest.
Yeah.
Now I had always been under the impression that the cast did not know what was going to happen. And that's what I'd heard for a long time. But then reading about it today, they had an idea of what was going to happen beforehand. But what startled them was the amount of blood.
Yeah.
Because that they didn't know that was going to happen.
And originally, too, I had read somewhere that it only took one take, but it took two takes.
Yeah, because the first time it like didn't rip through his shirt.
No,
right?
But they kept it. Because it looks more realistic with it trying to force itself out of the chest cavity.
That, I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it, like, forces itself out a little bit, but then there's more of, like, a pop.
Yeah.
Blech.
And it is wild. Lambert gets, like, covered in blood. But, yeah, they were more shocked by the amount of blood that was going to happen. Mm-hmm.
Then there's a little baby alien on the loose.
A little baby alien. Mm-hmm. If they just stayed that size.
Yes.
Adorable.
They then eject Kane into space, space funeral, which it seems like after that happened, they would have wanted to do like an autopsy.
To find out. Like,
To find out like what exactly happened, like what the life cycle was.
Yeah.
But no, any evidence they have, they just shoot right out into space.
Mm-hmm.
They don't watch enough true crime.
You would think that Ash would have wanted to have kept him.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. And Ash is, of course, standing there like, don't hurt it. Don't hurt it. Because they do have a chance to kill it.
Yes.
And Ash is like, no, we need it alive.
And then they have nets. So they're like wandering around with nets, not realizing that it's going to like...
quadruple in
size. I was going to say quadruple, but that would end up being like the size of Cooper.
Yeah. Yeah.
It like grows exponentially into like a giant monster in the course of like a few hours.
And that creature concept was by, and I know this too because one of my friends in high school was obsessed with this artist, H.R. Giger.
The Giger or Geiger?
It's Giger. I watched. Are
you using my trick?
I made sure that I watched like interviews and stuff like that.
Okay.
But he does a lot of the dark fantasy type.
I should look him up because I mean, you know, that stuff's cool.
Yeah.
I like it.
But it was my friend Jake Glacier was super into that, and he had like books and books, and I remember like in English class like going through all of the artwork and stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's just astounding that somebody in their brain could have just like come up with this. Now the original concept for the alien that they were going to pull from his artwork had eyes.
Mm-hmm.
But Ridley Scott didn't want him to have like visual eyeballs,
and mm-hmm. I have to agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
The alien does look a lot creepier with just that like smooth face and like horrible teeth.
Yeah, but if you're super interested in the alien creature concept, I would highly just like look up that artist. It's super cool.
I don't
know what's going on upstairs.
Okay. So then there's a good jump scare with Jones, the kitty cat,
mm-hmm.
which we haven't talked about.
Ship Little Jonesy.
Ship has a cat.
Mm-hmm.
It was played by four different cats.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I was hoping that you would have written down something about the kitties.
Yeah. Jones, a.k.a. Jonesy, was the ship's cat. That's kind of like a throwback to like sailing ships. Like you'd mm-hmm. have a cat to like kill pests.
Yeah.
So that's why kitty cat's on the ship.
I always wonder why it's like an orange cat too, because in Captain Marvel, Goose is an orange cat.
Because orange cats are adorable.
They're pretty cute.
And mm-hmm. I wonder too if it's because like you can find cats that look similar.
Mm-hmm.
Where if you had like a black and white cat, you'd have to find like identical black and white cats.
Yeah, that's true.
And even like Sam, yeah. you know, like a tiger kitty, she is distinct looking still.
Yeah.
But maybe orange cats are more...
have like the standard orange cat look.
Because when we had Gus and Frank, people had a hard time telling them apart.
Yeah.
And sometimes I did, even from like the top of them.
Yeah.
And then people would get Elliot and Frank confused too. And I thought that was weird because Elliot was like dark red.
Yeah.
Or like a dark orange.
Elliot also had like the more rounded ears.
He had round ears too.
Mm-hmm.
But as you know, I'm an orange kitty collector.
You are.
And Jones is the newest.
Mm-hmm.
Which, that Photoshop Facebook page.
Oh, yeah. We're going to have to put some of those on the Instagram.
I kind of like the one where Ripley is holding Jones and then my little baby Jones is like tucked in next to him.
Oh, okay. You should send that to me and I'll post it.
Well, I need to ask permission. Yeah. Or you could ask them permission to use them. We can't just use somebody's art.
I know.
Yeah.
You could message.
I probably would.
Yeah.
How soon do you need that?
In the next couple days.
Okay.
Because I haven't even announced this one.
Oh, good. You're on top of it.
I've been slacking. Like I said, past few days, kind of bummer.
So the reason I wanted to do that, well, one, because it's funny, but two, because I had a picture of Pepper when she was a kitten and she was stretching and she was so long and like cute. And I put it on the Facebook page is This Cat is Photoshopped.
Yeah.
I think is the name mm-hmm. of it. And Helen Yang, I think is the admin for it, has the best. Her Photoshops are fucking hilarious. And she did like Pepper playing volleyball. And, like, Pepper doing all this crazy shit. Like, somebody made her, like, dunking in Space Jam.
Mm-hmm. God.
So, It's just shit like that. But I knew that they'd be able to make like Jonesy look mm-hmm. funny. Anyway, Jonesy's the kitty. I know. Let's see, where am I at? Okay. So they do spend a certain amount of time looking for the cat, even though the alien doesn't seem interested.
No. Which is weird.
So Brett is wandering around on the ship and like something falls on him and you realize it's like a shed. So the thing is getting bigger.
Yeah.
He's also under like running water that's just like dripping from some part of the spaceship.
I don't understand.
Like condensation.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like standing in the water. The alien like drops down behind him while he's doing this and kills him.
The first.
While kitty cat is hiding.
Oh, I know. The cat's like, no, thank you.
Yeah.
Do you know how they did that scene?
Yeah, the director, somebody, they had a dog. They had a German Shepherd that made him hiss.
Yes.
Little
sassy kitty.
Yes. So then they're searching for Brett and they're going level by level
mm-hmm.
on top of searching for the alien. But no, Brett's gone, you know. Dallas is in the lead. This scene has always stressed me out so much because they have the little like sensory
mm-hmm.
blip thing where they can watch on their screen if something's coming closer and it's like beeping.
Yeah, Lambert created kind of like a tracking device, or Ash did. I can't remember which one did. Probably Ash, now that I think about it.
So they have like a general idea of like mm-hmm. where the alien was, and it would like beep faster as it got closer to them.
Yeah.
Dallas like vanishes. Yeah.
They're dropping like flies.
Yeah.
This is where it really ramps up.
Lambert wants to bail. She's like over it.
Yeah.
Like no one wants to do this. Ripley then realizes that it's using the air shafts to get around.
Mm-hmm.
So her plan is that she wants to corner it and then kick it out into space.
Yeah.
She then accuses Ash of doing nothing to help.
Yeah.
True. And she has command of the ship, or access to Mother. To access like the files that she did not have access to before.
Because Ash is just kind of like, well, what do you want me to do? And Ripley is just like, do what you've been doing, nothing.
Nothing.
Like, you've done nothing to help this situation.
Yes. Okay. Sorry, I had to put my flannel back on. Then she finds a special order 937.
Mm-hmm.
I also wrote, too long, didn't read. Bring home alien, fuck crew.
Yeah, it's essentially what it says. Yeah. Priority one.
Alien.
Alien.
So.
No other priorities.
Yeah.
Fuck the crew. Do you think that the crew was sent out there originally to get this thing? Do you think they knew all along?
Yeah.
Because I can't remember. I know in the second one, like, shit really unfolds with the company and everything, but I can't remember 100%.
Yes, because from my understanding is that the corporation knew about the distress beacon, or knew about the beacon from the planet.
Yeah.
That's why the science officer got replaced with Ash.
Yep.
And it was just kind of like, oh, this is a crew that's going out. We can get them close enough right now. Boom. Yeah.
Yikes.
Let the alien eat the crew. Like, which, would the alien eat Ash?
No. Ash isn't.
But alive. What I thought was funny too, Ash isn't alive, but he still wakes up out of like cryo sleep.
Maybe he faked it.
He just lays there awake for months.
Yeah. He's a cyborg.
A cyborg. An android.
An android. A cyborg. Cyborg would mean that parts of his body were human.
I think RoboCop is considered a cyborg.
Yeah. And cyborg in DC.
Yes. I'm so sidetracked. In the new RoboCop, mm-hmm. that like... or the newest RoboCop, I should say, like when he sees his body. Because it's like way more fucked up than the original one.
Really? I haven't seen it.
Oh my God.
Who's it makes in the new one?
Hattie McHatterson. I don't know who
Jason
plays him.
Jason Statham. Immediately, Hattie McHatterson, Jason Statham.
No, he is like an action
okay
star actor. It was a few years ago now that I saw it.
That's
but,
okay.
Like in the first RoboCop, his body is like really fucked up and they replace him with a bunch of mechanical parts.
Mm-hmm.
But in the new one, he has like no body left.
Really?
Practically no body.
Wow.
So when he sees like his actual body, it like kind of makes me like cringy sick. Like I didn't like it.
Really?
Mm-hmm. So Ash knows about the order, the special order.
Joel Kinnaman.
Do you see his face?
Quite attractive.
He is. He's an attractive man. Is this the part where they get in a fight?
Ash and Ripley?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So they start, like, kicking each other's asses.
Yeah, so now we're down to Ripley, Lambert, and Parker.
Yes.
Those are the three remaining crew members. They kind of talk about taking the escape pod or, like, the escape ship out. Ripley informs them there's not enough room for all four of us, to which Lambert is just like, let's draw straws. Fuck it. I do not care. We're getting out of here.
Yeah.
And Parker's like, I'm going to kill this fucking alien.
Yes.
And Ripley and him kind of get into it. And if you go and watch like behind the scenes stuff, Ridley Scott had the actor that played Parker kind of like piss Ripley off.
Yeah.
Just to make
well,
it more.
Well, to backtrack a little bit too, Ash tries to like essentially smother or like gag Ripley with a magazine.
Yes.
And while
it's a terrible scene, I completely forgot about it.
So did I. And so that happens. Well, then Parker knocks Ash's head off.
Yeah. And that's when they find out that he's an android.
Yes. Well, he does though, when he's attacking her, he's like
leaking.
He's like leaking lubricant for one. And then he's also like glitching.
Yeah.
So they're like, oh, yeah. Which I wonder if he like went into cryosleep and was just going to play off that he was a human being this whole time.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh,
I think 100% they figured.
And like, they just don't have to like know.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Because when in the second one with the android, Ripley is super like sketched out by him. Like, no, I've dealt with androids before. Like, they're fucking assholes. Is it the second one?
Yes, it's the second one because it's Bishop.
Mm-hmm.
And I cannot. I'm going to look up the actor's name right now because I love him.
Yeah, he's in Millennium. We've talked about him before.
He's been in
a movie. He's been in a lot of stuff.
He was in a movie that we did.
Yeah.
Except I can't.
He was in Pumpkinhead.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
His name is Lance Hendrickson.
Yes.
And I think he's oddly attractive, too.
Yeah. In a weird way.
Mm-hmm. So they knock his head off. Then they power him back up, just his head, which is a little cheesy.
It's a little cheesy, but for 1979, it's not. It's awesome.
Yeah, because 1 second his head is like tipped sideways, and then it's like the screen moves a little bit, or like the camera moves a little.
Yeah,
and then his head is upright, where he's clearly like got his head through a hole in the table.
Yes, yeah, for sure.
So he explains that the alien is the perfect organism.
Yeah.
And this is when they decide to take the shuttle and blow up the ship.
Yeah. And he tells them, too, he's like, I can't lie to you about your chances, but you do have my sympathies. And that's when they just, like, program him down or whatever.
They just, like, unplug him.
Yeah. They're like, okay, you're a dick.
So they set the self-destruct on the ship. They have 10 minutes until the ship blows up. So they have 10 minutes to get to the escape pod, blast out of there.
Yeah.
Ripley hears Jones and goes to look for him.
Goes after the cat.
Can't forget the kitty cat.
Nope.
I think it's funny that she just randomly has a cat carrier. If you pay attention to how she throws this cat carrier around, Jonesy is lucky to be alive.
Then no shit.
Like, if she dropped the carrier and kicked it, it would have been better than some of it. She's, like, running down the hall and, like, pitches the cat carrier. It goes, like, rolling across the floor.
Poor Jonesy.
I mean, he makes it out, but damn.
He does make it out. Do you think the alien would have eaten it?
Probably not.
Yeah.
I don't
know either.
Maybe if it was hungry enough.
Yeah.
But, like, you don't know how often it has to eat or anything.
That's true.
So she has her cat carrier in space. Ripley hears Parker yelling. And Lambert is, like, cornered. Yeah.
Poor Lambert. Lambert wanted nothing to do with any of this.
No.
She was like, no, keep him in quarantine. Fuck him. Like,
so Parker essentially dies defending Lambert, and then she dies too.
Yeah.
So it's like back to back.
Mm-hmm.
Ripley has 5 minutes to get off the ship before it detonates. She's then cornered by the alien. And this is so fucking stressful. So she can't make it to the escape pod.
No.
So then she drops Jones, for one. Drops the cat carrier. And then she runs to shut off the auto detonation. Mm-hmm. She tries.
Mm-hmm.
No dice.
It's past the 5 minute threshold.
Yeah. There's like this super countdown. You think she's going to get it. But yeah, once it goes past like the event horizon of the explosion.
The will to live that she has.
Yes. Nope. She's got 5 minutes. So she gets a flamethrower, and I mean, she's just going to fight her way out. Like, what else are you going to do?
Yeah.
Blow up on the ship, get killed by the alien. Like, you got to do something.
Options are limited.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If I saw the alien, though, I would shit my pants immediately. Like, I don't, like, seriously?
Yeah.
It would
be a nightmare.
I guess.
My nightmare.
The only thing is maybe, like, okay, you haven't seen anything like that, but if space travel is, like, prevalent? Is that the right word?
Prevalent.
Mm-hmm. You would see other weird things, though.
I think so.
There'd be, like, new animals, new people, new whatever. Nothing that scary, though.
No.
That's chasing you, trying to eat you.
With acid blood.
Mm-hmm. Ripley and Jones narrowly escape into the shuttle. Just barely.
God, it's terrifying.
They just barely make it.
It is terrifying.
Then also this, I distinctly remember her freaking underwear.
I do too. This is, as soon as I saw her in her little white tank top and little itty bitty undies, I was just like, oh, this is my childhood watching this.
Yes. And she's super fit. But she's like, fit. She's getting ready to like go to sleep. She puts Jonesy in the little bed or in her little cryo thing.
Yeah.
She's getting ready to go to sleep too. And oh, guess what? The alien is on her fucking
ship.
She's
like doing stuff, like getting the controls ready and everything.
Yeah.
And the camera kind of pans up and you see just like smooth,
some movement in the background.
Black.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, oh, it could be nothing. It's just piping. And it's not just piping.
And then it moves.
The fucker moves its head, and you're like, oh shit, it's the fucking alien. Scariest shit I've seen in so long. And I've seen this movie like dozens of times.
And they did that. So I guess at first the alien was supposed to stay on the ship and blow up. And then she escapes the end. But they wanted, I guess they called it like the fourth act. And they wanted it to, like, have one more, like, big scare.
Yeah.
And it was definitely terrifying.
Wasn't she originally supposed to die? Like, wasn't that, like, a thing? Like, the alien was supposed to win, but people were like, no, no. Like, the producers or something were like, no, she had, like, the alien
and
has
how,
to die.
And how would there be sequels with her in them? You know, she's obviously a talented actor. Like,
I mean, they clone her in, like, 4 or whatever.
Four is a clone because she straight up dies in three.
Yeah.
I didn't like three. As much as I remember it. And four was just fucking, like, creepy.
Four was weird.
Yeah.
Because that's when she's in, like, the leather suit or something, and she's just, like she's the mom or whatever of the
she
alien.
She is, because what they did in that one is they mixed her genetics somehow with the alien.
Yes, because I remember the cover, because it's her with the aliens naked.
Yes, mm-hmm. And she is, like, appears to be normal, but then she starts, like, giving all these weird signs where she's, like, a more advanced human.
Yeah.
And then I think in that too, she finds all of her other
clones that was fucked up.
That were all fucked up.
Super fucked up.
Different phases of fucked
up. It's like Alice in Resident Evil.
Yes.
When Alice finds out she's just a clone.
Wouldn't that be weird to find out you're a clone?
Be weird. Have you ever seen the movie Us? Or Them or whatever? Us?
Us? I don't think so. Wait. Is it about clones? Is that giving it away?
No.
Oh. There's the one, there's Multiplicity. Did you ever see that?
Yeah. isn't that Michael Keaton?
Yeah. He clones himself to, like, get more stuff done, but, like, his clones get, like, dumber and dumber as they go down.
That's hilarious.
And they all have, like, super different personalities. Greg quotes that movie all the time.
That's funny. But two, I think, next to this one is probably my favorite. We're not done with this.
We're not done. We just took a pause. Okay.
Yeah.
So what I think is weird when they have clones in movies and, like, your clone, like, takes over your life.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about this probably on the podcast. What about scars or tattoos or piercings?
I think all of your imperfections, so, like, or body modifications, so, like, tattoos and stuff, like, wouldn't show up.
No, they wouldn't.
Yeah.
So, like,
you would totally know, like, body snatchers and shit.
If I walked into my house, Greg would instantly know it wasn't me if I didn't have tattoos or dyed hair or my acrylic nails.
This is true. I never thought about this
random person shows up. And even, like, if you don't, you know, if you don't have tattoos, piercings, whatever, color your hair. What about, like, when the scar from your appendix coming out or where you had a mole removed? Or, like, is freckle pattern down to, like, would I, if I was cloned, would I have the same birthmarks?
I'm not high enough for this conversation that we are having right now.
Like, we both had a mole removed on our back.
We did.
So if I showed up and I'm laying in bed, Greg would be like, where the fuck did this giant mole come from?
I feel like there's a movie or a show like that. Have you ever watched Glitch? It's an Australian TV show. And it's... This guy's wife dies and she comes back. And it's because this town is, like, glitched to, like, bring people back. And it's something weird. Like, it's weird.
What's the one... who's the guy that looks young forever? Ant-Man.
Paul Rudd.
Paul Rudd is in a show.
He is. Yeah.
Where he, I'm like skimming for it quick and I can't find it. He was in a show where you basically, like, you get cloned and your clone is, like, better and brighter than you. It's like you updating, but you just go in and you just think you're being made a better human being.
Paul Rudd 2.0.
But instead they, like, off you and just clone you, and your clone is, like, the superior form of you.
Do you have all of your memories and stuff?
Yep. I think everything is there, but it's like a brain transfer into your clone, so you're just a healthier, more fit.
Speaking of this, do you ever watch Carbon?
No, but you've been telling me to. But in this show, he doesn't die. They think he's dead. So then he has to go and, like, it's him, his, like, perfect clone, like, and his wife all living in the same house together.
Superior at everything?
Yes.
Okay, because you knew where my mind went.
Yes. Everything. Just a better version of you.
That'd be wild.
Yeah. But normally, like, your first person would die. Your clone would take over with all your memories. But in this show that I can't think of the name of, his first person doesn't die. And then he has to figure out, like, basically how to live his life with a clone and his friends and family. It's crazy.
It's like Severance. You would just...
You've told me about that, too.
You would just send one, like, your clone into work. And you could just stay at home and, like, do housework or hang out or do whatever.
This...
That'd be fun.
Yeah. Yeah, I think if I cloned, like, in the Paul Rudd TV show, I would get different tattoos.
And just have, like...
I wonder if on your clone, before it wakes up, you could be, like, full body tattoo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be cool. I would like that. Although, I don't know. I like all of my tattoos.
I do, too, but, like, fresh, you know? Fresh. But, like, maybe something different. Anyway.
Yeah.
If you didn't like them, 10 years later, you can just clone yourself again and have different tattoos.
But if your brain is, like, in the clone that does everything better, would it matter that you died?
I mean, your brain is still there, but, like, your it just gets, like, copied. Your memories don't get deleted.
I don't know if I like that. Anyway.
Anyway.
Ripley blowing up an alien.
Then she decides to go with her initial plan, launch the alien into space. This is very dramatic.
This is super dramatic.
I'll let you tell this part because my throat's starting to hurt.
So Ripley blows the alien into space.
I could have said that, dummy.
And she's in like a spacesuit and stuff.
She puts the spacesuit on because she's going to open the airlock and blast everything into space. Yeah,
which she does. But the alien's still like hanging on.
Yes.
And then it like goes into like the ductwork where the rocket.
Yes.
The thing is, the engine.
Yes.
And she's like, no, no, alien. And she presses like the thrusters and it just like incinerates.
Blasts it out.
The alien.
The end. Then she goes and lays down with the kitty cat and sleeps for, I think, like 50 years.
Is it 50 years?
Mm-hmm.
Shit.
Yeah.
And then Paul Reiser is in the second one as the science officer, isn't he?
Well, no, because Bishop's in it. I don't think he's in it until the third one. Or maybe he's in the second one.
I think he is. Oh.
Because he's not bad guy. A science officer. He's like from the company.
Oh, he's corporate.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The corporate suit.
Yeah. I love this movie.
Me too.
I love it so much. It brings back so many childhood memories of like sitting on the couch, like watching the movies with dad and mom and stuff.
For sure.
And like making popcorn. I think it was honestly one of those movies that we did movie night where like we closed the front door and I made the little ticket.
We had tickets. That was always so fun. I should do that to Greg and just see what he does.
Yeah, and just be like, ticket, please.
Yeah, I need your... I hand him a piece of paper, and I'm like, this is your ticket. Hand it to me in 2 minutes.
Yeah, just take it.
Just take this right now. And then I'd, like, stand at the basement door and be like, tickets, please. Alien, 7:10 p.m., this theater.
That was so fun. We had a pretty good childhood.
Oh, yeah, for the most part.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember we'd close the big sliding door and then you had to go in the little side door.
The little side door into the living room.
Where the ticket booth was. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, I remember we'd pull out like the sofa sleeper, like the sofa bed.
It was a big deal.
Because that's in movie theaters.
Yeah, sofa sleepers. Yeah, so this movie is super amazing. I love Ripley in it because it was one of the first times that a female lead like did so awesome in sci-fi, especially.
Mm-hmm.
It was great.
Well, when was Texas Chainsaw?
Ooh, 74.
Yeah, because
that's true.
This I don't know. I can't go back before this, but it seems like in horror, like the women leads are getting to be more kick-ass.
Yes. And yes. They just like kicked off. Texas Chainsaw Massacre Lady, Sally, and then Ripley. And then there were like a couple others like spread in there. But this was just great. Alien got me interested in parasites too.
Yeah.
Like big time. Like I took a parasitology course in college because I wanted to learn about facehuggers and if it was realistic.
Yeah. And I like the tagline, which we should have said in the beginning, in space, no one can hear you scream.
Yeah, that was done by, I wrote her name down. It was done by Barbara Gipps or Gips. She was a copywriter that worked with Ridley Scott.
Mm-hmm. And she just like came up with that good like one liner there. All right. I think that's it, right?
So that was Alien.
Alien, good.
I think we could probably do...
Oh, scariness. Two.
Oh, God. Two or three. Just because it's anxiety-inducing.
Gore, other than...
Like, Parker gets his face...
Punched in.
and the chest scene. Like a two.
I would say 1.5.
Yeah. I think at some point we should visit all of these.
Yes.
Because... It would be fun to do the later ones and just like rip them apart because they start to just turn into garbage.
Well, I think we should do this. Like, obviously, we're doing this and then maybe Aliens and then like Prometheus.
Yeah, Prometheus.
Mm. To kind of like wrap up the storyline.
Yeah.
Or it's the prequel, right?
Prometheus?
Yeah, prequel.
Think?
No, it's. Never mind. We'll talk about it later.
Yeah, we'll talk about it later. But per usual, the next Monday is the first Monday of the month. So we are not going to be releasing anything new. But we're always there on iTunes and Spotify if you want to revisit another episode.
Okay.
Yeah.
That was really cheesy. That was a cheese fest.
If you like what you hear and you want to know what we're going to be doing in the future or whatever, please follow us on Instagram. We also... Oh, wait. On Instagram /your movie review, all one word, all lowercase. We also have a Facebook page, /your movie review. And if iTunes and Spotify aren't your jam, listen to us every Friday night on mtrsradio.com at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
All right. I hope everyone has a good night and a good week.
Bye.
Bye.